Today is the 23rd of December 2007. We start the lesson about the Brahmanas Sutra and the Bodhisattva precepts. We continue with page 9. Before we begin the lesson, we recite the name of the Buddha 3 times. Namo Bodhisattva Thikka Moaniya Padma Namo Bodhisattva Thikka Moaniya Padma Namo Bodhisattva Thikka Moaniya Padma. We continue where we left the last time. Page 8, the precepts, see the precepts. The precepts, you only know that they are the rules. In Buddhism, all precepts, that is, the vows of moral conduct taken by lay and ordained Buddhists. Lay mean the people who take only the 5 precepts. Ordained mean the monks and the nuns. Can be grouped into 2 main categories. Sravaka precepts of laymen, monks and nuns. Sravaka precepts usually refer to the bhikkhuni precepts. However, by extension, the Sravaka precepts also include the 5 lay precepts and the 10 precepts of novice, monks, nuns, as these later are considered preparation for the bhikkhuni precepts. That is basically, you know, the precepts which prevent you to do something, which prohibit you to do something. And Bodhisattva precepts, the example called above, the Sravaka precepts, all these precepts are derived from the 3 root precepts which form the basis of all Buddhist practice. Do not what is evil, do what is good, and be of benefit to all sentient beings. The 3 root precepts basically known as the precepts for the Bodhisattva, not for the Sravaka. That is the reason why we will say about it later. Why? Let's finish this paragraph. The Sravaka precepts center on the 1st root precepts. Do not what is evil. The Bodhisattva precepts, by contrast, cover all 3 root precepts, which, with the emphasis on the 3rd, be the benefit to all sentient beings. To take the Bodhisattva precepts, therefore, is to develop and nurture the body mind, the determination to attain Buddhahood for one and for all. The 3 root precepts, we call them Tam Tung Jai. In Mahayana, 3 root precepts which form the basis of all Bodhisattva practice. First, do not what is evil. Second, do what is good. And third, be of benefit to all sentient beings. All Bodhisattva precepts and vows, or for that matter, all precepts derived ultimately from these 2 precepts, also called the 3 bodies of pure precepts, Tam Tung Jai Jai. These precepts may in principle be administered to Buddhists in lieu of the full set of Bodhisattva precepts described in the Brahmanas Sutra. So what does it mean? That basically the Sravaka precepts, that is the precepts for the voice hearers, are based on only one thing. Do not do what is evil. That is the prohibition to do something. So you see on these precepts, like, you know, for the lay people, do not kill, do not steal, do not fornicate, do not lie, and do not drink. So we see do not, do not, do not, do not, do not. That's it. That is the first part of the root precept. Do not do what is evil. But there is no precept saying that you have to do this thing or you have to harm someone. No, not like this. Even in the bhikkhuni precepts, they don't have any of these precepts. Or the novice, same thing. They don't have the precept saying that they have to harm the sentient beings, to do what or to do what. Just to prohibit to do something. So that if the Brahmanas Sutra time and time again passionately assign the teachings and practices of the two vehicles, that is the Sravaka, it is because the vehicles of the Sravaka and the Pratitya Buddha are conceived as self-centered, focused on personal enlightenment and not leading to Buddhahood. That is, you know, to the deliverance of themselves only, of themselves, not to help any other sentient beings, unworthy of the Bodhisattva. Because by definition, you see, Bodhisattva means enlightenment of all the sentient beings. In disparaging their goal, the Buddha intended to wake them up and open their minds to the supreme goal of Buddhahood. So we understand there are two kinds of precepts. The precept from the Sravaka, that is the voice hearer. For the voice hearer, we have only the prohibition. That is the first part of the three root precepts. The Bodhisattva take on three. That means, do not do bad things. Do these good things. And help to enlighten the sentient beings. Legacy of the Sutta. Over a century ago, in his specialist translation and extensive commentary, the Dutch clergyman, Reverend Wood, the Good, we said last time that he was Christian, concluded that the Brahmanet Sutra has played a pivotal role in shaping every aspect of traditional monastic life as well as Buddhist lay practice throughout China. This is also true of Korea and Japan. That we don't have any question. As Prof. Edman noted, the teaching of the Sutra of the Brahmanet is the canon of the rule, against which the keeping and commentaries of all Vinaya, that is, the code of precepts, have been measured since the 8th century. The Tendai and many other schools insist that each form of servants is necessary. So basically, the Bodhisattva precepts are required for the Bodhisattva, that is Mahayana. We just say about the difference, right? So you understand the three root precepts and why is it the main thing, Mahayana must practice and must follow. In Vietnam as well, the Brahmanet Sutra is widely disseminated and is profound teaching, and its profound teachings have suffused monastic and lay life to a degree unrivaled by any other modern code. No fewer than 8 recent annotation, translation, and commentaries on this sutra are known to the editors alone. So the Brahmanet Sutra is the basis of this, of these Bodhisattva precepts. I just remind you that Brahmanet Sutra is not the Brahmanet Sutra from the Nikaya. In Nikaya, we have also the Brahmanet Sutra. But that Brahmanet Sutra is not this one. In that Brahmanet Sutra, it is a short sutra. The Buddha just say about the Brahmanet. We understand the Brahmanet later, if you have not understood yet. Among the many legacies of the sutra, the most noteworthy are the practice of vegetarianism, because we try to avoid killing and harm sentient beings. You see, because in the precepts, the nuns basically know they have only the precept of Sravaka. That is, these precepts prohibit them to do something. But these precepts don't incite them to do good things. Like we take the 5 precepts, do not, that's it. But they don't say that, well, you have to help someone, you have to speak good about something. You don't speak bad, but you don't have to speak good. So the practice of vegetarianism sprout from the avoidance of killing. Because whenever we try not to kill, we try not to make sentient beings suffer. So basically that explains to us why the monks and the nuns in the Hinayana, in the Theravada, they still eat meat. Right? They don't kill. But if someone offers to them, they eat. But in Mahayana, we don't kill and we don't eat meat either. That is because if we don't eat meat, we stimulate other people not to kill. The precept does not prohibit us to eat meat. But we don't eat meat because we want other people to stop killing. The practice of vegetarianism, that's the compassionate duty to rescue sentient beings in danger and guide them to enlightenment and most, that is the second thing. You remember the three root precepts, right? First, don't do the bad things, don't do evil, do the good things, and enlighten on sentient beings, help on the sentient beings. And most of all, the concept of cosmic fidelity or compassion toward our parents throughout the eon of times, that is, toward all sentient beings. This concept, we already understand, but let me explain it easier. What it means is that if we believe in Buddhism, we don't live alone. We don't live once. We don't have any beginning, we don't have any end. Nothing has a beginning, nothing has an end. We just transform. And we exist nowadays in this form, in this human life form, is just, you know, a transformation. That is, you know, we take this transformation, and then we will take all the transformation later. Probably, you know, the, about nearly the same, or we will take another form in another place, in another universe, version, another constellation, whatever. See, but basically, we see that since, you know, there was no beginning, there was no end. We just transmigrate. That is, we take another life form, another life form. So in this life form, I am like, you know, your brother, sisters. My parents, you know, this Mr. or this Madam, they are my parents. But in the previous life, I might have a different parents. And the other previous, more previous life, I have other. So if we tell them, you know, probably, you know, we are all related. Now, we just say that, well, even, you know, if we don't consider this, we just go through the, like, the family tree. We see that, well, my grandparents, you know, have some cousins, some brother, sister, and these brother, sister give birth to this and get married to this. And so this person, oh, now they know they are somehow related to me. But if we are reborn, keep on being reborn like this, transform. We say transform because some people, like some of you guys, you know, are like allergic to the term reborn. You don't want to think like, you know, I'm a man, I will become a dog, or this cat, you know, become me or something. But you say transformation, that's good. It's like transformer, boom, boom, right? Good. Transformation in this life form, human life form. So this is the concept of cosmic finality. That is it. Like, you know, all the people, like, you know, you sit here, you might be my parents at the time. You might be your dad, you know, your mother, my mother, or something like this. I don't know, you see. So if I hurt you, I might hurt my parents. So that is that concept, most of all. A disciple of the Buddha should have a mind of compassion and cultivate the practice of liberating sentient beings. He must reflect thus, throughout the eon of times, all my sentient beings have been my father, and female sentient beings, my mother. I was born of them. You understand now, right? Literally, you know, you are not born of them. But then, you know, figuratively, you know, you are only like, born of them. And they are born of you. If I now slaughter them, I would be slaughtering my parents as well as eating flesh that was once my own. This is so because all elements and earth and water, fire and air, that is four elements, the four constituents of all life, have previously been part of my body, part of my substance. Precept 20. That is one of the precepts later. If you don't understand, some people still believe in it. You see, like, you know, now they, you know, they can make the artificial diamond, right? You know that? They can make artificial diamond. They use some kind of carbon, you see, and then they press under high pressure or whatever they do. Okay, but then when they make these diamonds, they cannot sound as good because people I know are still allergic to them. They want the beer, right? The beer diamond. That's the McCoy diamond. You are like a zirconia or whatever, right? Cubic zirconia, or, you know, the world, you know, just a piece of glass. So they don't like them. So these people who invent that, they now say that, well, if you have your parents, someone you love and died, you cremate them and give me a little bit of ashes. We put these ashes and we try to extract the carbon from these and make a diamond for you to wear. So whenever you wear it, you wear one of your loved ones. Have you heard about that? And it costs you an arm and leg, of course. See, but what they mean here, you see that, have been previously been part of my body, my substance, everything. And now we see that this person become like a diamond. So whenever you die, your loved one or someone, you know, might wear you. Right. It is no wonder then that the Brahmana Sutra has long been a favorite among Mahayana Buddhists in Asia, who see the Bodhisattva precepts of nature and complement to their ultimate goal, attainment of Buddhahood for the benefit of all sentient beings. That explains to you why, you know, we need to learn about these precepts. We need to take them, and why, you know, in Asia or most Mahayana countries, they espouse these precepts. I explained to you last time about the Japanese Buddhism, right? Basically, no, they don't have monks and nuns anymore. All the monks and nuns are just bodhisattvas like us. They take the same precept like us, the 10 great precepts. The so-called monks, Zen monks, you know, they only take the bodhisattva precepts. But thanks to this, Buddhism no, still survive in Japan. Because otherwise, you know, it will be like eliminated already. So this is very important, because with the sattva, bodhisattva precepts, if you take them, you can maintain Buddhism, you know, forever and ever. It goes through your life, the next life. You can, you know, like become like, so have you heard people calling Mother Teresa? You know Mother Teresa, right? People call her a bodhisattva. You heard about it. She's not a Buddhist bodhisattva, of course. She's a Christian nun. But then you know, she acts exactly like a bodhisattva. She follows on these three root precepts. She avoids doing bad things. She do only good things. And she helps her sentient beings. So people call her a bodhisattva. And there's nothing bad with that. We don't know. She might be a real Buddhist. So, but at least you know, she has the spirit of Buddhism. Okay, now we go to the liturgy. Liturgy means that you know, whenever you, for 2 weeks at a time, you know, we recite these precepts. Reciting the precept, why? Because you remember, we explained before, right? That is, in the time there was no book like that. Now you have book, you have computer, you have MP3 player, we can listen to them. But in the time, unless you know, some people say it, you know, you don't know it. You might not remember at all. You don't have a paper, you don't have book. So they have to gather together, like twice a month, and then someone you know, start to recite the precept, and all they listen to it to remember. So we still you know, keep this tradition. That is, you know, every 2 weeks you know, we try to gather together. We, of course, you know, you can stay home to do it, but that's against the spirit of bodhisattva. Bodhisattva means enlightenment of the sentient beings. We need to have assembly. We have to go together to help somebody else. You can do it all by yourself, but that doesn't mean that you have the bodhisattva spirit at all. A bodhisattva must work for all the sentient beings, and along with all the sentient beings. So liturgy of the bodhisattva precept. You don't have any questions, right? If you have any questions, tell me. First, you know, liturgy. Liturgy means like a you know, rule, saying things. And some people, you know, really weird people, or people who like to argue, start to ask right away, hey, in the time of the Buddha, he didn't recite any sutra, he didn't recite anything. Have you heard, you know, saying that, you know, these monks, you know, at the time of Buddha recite what? No. They don't tung king at all. So why do you have to tung king? Yeah, people ask that. Or you might ask that. See, first thing, like we just say, Buddha, you know, first, when he was enlightened, he teach a little, and then he teach more and more until he's 80 years old when he died. So in all these times, he teach a lot. In fact, you know, I just compiled the contents of the Tripitaka from the Qilong area. The Qilong Tripitaka comprised 1,660 sutras. All their names. I will post on the website of the temple. Okay? These are names in Vietnamese. Each sutra you know, is enumerated. Can you figure out you can read all of these in your lifetime? Some sutras are very long, like the Prajnaparamita Sutra. That is the Maha Prajnaparamita Sutra. It is 600 volumes. Reading them will take you a couple of years, at least. Just reading. Don't say anything about understanding or explaining. See? So all the books, like you know, the explanation of this, Luận Đại Trí Độ, is 100 books. He explained only one part of it. And it's already sprout out like a text, 100 books. So you see, all these teachings of the Buddha, how can we understand them? How can we remember them? Of course, if we learn, we can remember. But we remember some, we forget some. So that's the reason why we have to recite the sutra. It's like we just said the last time, when you recite all these sutras, Tụng Kinh right here, you recite a little bit of each sutra, each main sutra. So liturgy of the Bodhisattva precept, that is, how do you sit down, how do you say, what are you supposed to do? First, you know, we say this, this is like a poem, but this we call the Gatha. Buddha and sentient being are emptiness. That was translated from Chinese and Vietnamese. The way communicate unbelievable to us, our Mandela, what does it mean? Basically, what is the liturgy? The liturgy at first, you know, is like, you know, a visit. You come to the temple, you first, you know, greet, good morning, Buddha. Right? Like, you know, you come to a house, you say, hi, hello, sir, or hello, madam. You want to send something, like in at Christmas now, you want to send some candy, you knock the door, knock, knock. Yes, sir, ma'am. How are you, ma'am? Are you, oh, you're so pretty, first of all. You're so handsome. Then I have some candy. And then you say, you would like to have some candy? I give some candy. This is the same. At first, you know, you knock on the Buddha. You say, Buddha and you know, and the Bodhisattva, they are all pretty big, thing like this. Right, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. But be careful. Don't laugh, because why? This great thing, you know, all, see, the Buddha can hear. He's a copper thing, right? Or a bronze thing. Either you talk to him or someone else, you know, are you sure he can listen to you? So you talk to yourself. That reminds you. That's more important. Buddha and sentient beings are all emptiness. This is how to understand. If you don't understand, forget about it now. But basically, this, you know, are the thing, you know, we say to the Buddha. And if the Buddha is still alive, he listen and he say, this guy is good, or this girl, you know, is good, because he or she understands that. Buddha and sentient beings are all emptiness. That is, you know, they are formed by causation. They are basically nothing. They are not real, you know the word. Buddha and sentient beings are all emptiness. You understand it, right? We learned about that before. Because everything, you know, is made by combination. When you look into at your body, you use the microscope, the thing, electron microscope, you go deeper and deeper and deeper, and you see that your body, you know, is not really a life form at all. It's just, you know, a bunch of electricity, some atomic thing. We learned about that before. So that is the reason which baffles scientists. Because scientists, you know, they have a reason. They must understand that you see that your body. So this one is the bunch. Well, but this is scientific. These, you know, are made up of atoms, different kind of atoms. And atoms are made of electrons and protons and other, you know, particles. And all these are electric from particles. They charge differently. And when you look down, you know, there are only like more than 100 different atoms on the Earth. No more than that. And the atoms differ only by the numbers of electrons and protons. They are alike. So we are on a whole bunch of electricity. We learned about that before. We eat foods and we just put a whole bunch of electricity in our body. So it is difficult for you to understand. But if you go deep, you have to understand that. So that is the reason why they divide nowadays into the quantum mechanics, quantum science, everything. Because when you go deeper and deeper like that, you know, it's not your body anymore. You cannot say, like, well, you inject some medicine in and this medicine will kill this, will treat this bacteria. You don't see the bacteria anymore. You see only a bunch of electricity. So in the quantum level, quantum means small. Small, very, very small. The quantum is very small. So in the quantum levels, you don't see it differently. So if with the normal people, with normal eyes like that, without the magnifier, without the microscope, we cannot see it. And you see that we are real. You are real. You look different from him. You have a blue shirt. Is it blue or purple? I don't know. You have blue, purple one, right?
Blue.
You have blue? I must be colorblind or something. But basically, no, you look different, right? But if you use the electron microscope, you go down and you see they have all a bunch of electricity. That's it. So Buddha and sentient beings are all emptiness. That is, we are speaking now, you know, in the quantum, at the quantum level now, basically. The way communicates unbelievably to us. The way we doubt. Now Dawono is basically translated into the way. The way is in European countries they call them religion. That is, you know, something you believe in, something you trust in, like your God. So this is the way. That is, if we translate rightly, we should say like Buddhism communicates unbelievably to us. That is, you know, we don't know what is the way, what is the religion, what is Buddhism. Truthfully, we don't know. Buddhism, or the way, you know, is a combination of all the people, the facts. That is, the fact, the people, now, past, the bodhisattvas from the past, the present, on the ancestors, on monks, nuns, lay people, on the animals, which fed us, which sustain our lives. So they communicate to us unbelievably. That means that, you know, there are things, you know, we cannot figure out. We think, like a scientist, that 1 + 1 must equal 2. But in the way, in Buddhism, it's not always like this. You give out $1, you give out another dollar, you might not get anything back at all. Or you might get back, you know, $1,000. So communicate unbelievably to us, because we have what we call by the cause and effect different. And the cause, among the cause, there are also the different causes. Our mandala is like the Brahmanet. That's the translation from the Vietnamese. Lưỡi đế châu bí đạo tràng. Truthfully, you know, even you know, people who recite them in Vietnamese, they just recite like that. Many people don't understand anything. They ask us, you know, to translate in Vietnamese, and they still don't understand at all. Lưỡi đế châu bí đạo tràng, what does it mean? Now, in English, it is our mandala is like a Brahmanet. You know the Brahmanet, right? No, it will say about. What is this Brahmana Sutra? We'll say about it later. The mandala, you know them, right? Not either. Mandala in Vietnamese, they call them mandala. Big deal, right? The same thing, right? So mandala is what some people know, don't understand that much. They just see that some Tibetan monk, they come in, they use the sand, the color sand, right? And make some figure, like, you know, a round one, or a rectangular, or a multiform one, and they call them mandala. Call them the mandala. Or you have some picture, they draw, you know, the four corners, things like this, or a lot of bodhisattva, a lot of demons, you know, gods, and they call them mandala. So you say, what is mandala? Basically, you know, it's difficult to translate into English, because English, there is no word like that. They don't have that kind of concept. If they don't have that kind of concept, we have to invent something to make them understand. But they don't understand. They cannot understand that. Basically, mandala is a gathering of things, people, together. But then, in that case, we just call them sangha, assembly. It is not assembly, because this is powerful. This implies, you know, there is some power, some force. That is, like, I take an example. We have a meeting here. We have a meeting here. We say, today we have a school, Sunday school. So you come here and then we learn about something. So I am a teacher, you are a student, suppose. So you come and then we have some book, some people might not have, and we learn. Some people understand, some people might not. Or I can explain, or I explain it blurry. No people understand the thing. And then, you know, we get out. That is assembly. You just come, you go. You get something, you might not get something. You might even get angry because you say, "Ooh, I missed this, what of that." Mandala is also a gathering. But it's like this, but instead I say that. Today, you know, we will leave everything and then we will go to to the moon. I made, you know, a big rocket. So come here, get everything with you. Every money, you know, okay, empty your bank account, do everything. So everyone come here only prepared and you have all the things out. Whenever we leave this mandala, this assembly, we don't come back anymore. You understand what I mean, right? That is what we call by the assembly, the mandala. Mandala means you put everything in it and you don't expect anything back. You might expect something back. But you, when you come like this, you know, you gather all your resources together to do something, to perform something. That is what we call by mandala. So whenever we sit down to pray, you go to the temple, when we sit down to pray, we start, you know, to offer the incense on the bodhisattva, the gods, the devil, the evils, all the things. The Dharmapala, that is the protector of the Dharma, all the bodhisattva of all the corners of the world, your ancestors, my ancestor, all of them gather together to listen. When we finish it, they go. So when we assemble like that, it's called a mandala. This is something really serious. So whenever people pray, you people just don't, you know, come in and out like this. That is why. Because you don't see them. You don't see them, but they put all their forces there. So if you don't believe it, stay out of the mandala. But when you get in, you join force with them. That is the meaning of the mandala. The mandala is like that. The mandala is the, in the Vietnamese, this translates to the school of the way. Dao Trang means the school of the way. So some people just say that we come there, you know, just to learn something, to do something, to get some merit. Because they sit down, they pray, they think that, well, I pray like that, I just miss and get some merit. They forget about all the Dharmapalas, all the Bodhisattva, all the ancestors, all the dead people who come in. All the people from all over the world, they come in and witness you and help you also. It's like the Brahmanet. So this mandala is compared to the Brahmanet. The Brahmanet is the concept, you know, an old concept in the Veda. That is, you know, the old Indian system. They compare the world, they say that all the world is like a Brahmanet, that is the net. So they are cross-section, the lines are intertwined, and you have like these knots. Now they figure that at these knots, you know, you put a pearl, you know, on these knots, and you hang it up high like this, you see all the universe, on the sky, you know, is made up like a Brahmanet, right? All the stars are like all these pearls on the Brahmanet, on the net. So they call it Brahma. Brahma means the God, the Deva, right? Brahmanet is just like that. So that means that everything in the world, they are interrelated. Because you see, if you see the star, you know, like separate like this, you don't see any relation. But if they are like the pearl, you know, hook to the net, one star move, or if you remove one pearl, the net shake, the net move, and then all the stars will shake along with them. What it implies is that we and all the sentient beings and all things in the universe are interrelated. Whatever we do, whatever we don't do, we have some repercussion in the world, in the whole universe. That is the reason why, you remember we learned before, that they say that, well, don't think that whenever you pick up a rose, that you don't make the sky, you know, tremble, and all the stars in the whole universe, you know, move. This is the old saying. And whenever I heard it first, you know, when it was your age, I said, whoosh, they exaggerate, and they must be like, you know, a poet, you know, on welfare or something. You just imagine things. How can you pick up a flower, and then you make the sky tremble, and all the stars, you know, on the whole universe shaking, unless you are Superman or something. But you remember that everything we do, we'll have some repercussion. So our mandala is like the Brahmanet. That is our mandala here. We assemble, we pray, we do things. We recite the liturgy here. Have repercussion all over the world. Because all the bodhisattva will assemble together also. In Vietnam, in China, in other countries, or in other places, you know, in the United States, they assemble also. You understand this part, right? Buddha from 10 corners shine their aura. You know the aura, right? Aura Hào Quang. That, you know, is symbolic of their power, you see. When they display the power, they can display the power only, you know, by shining, or by making the earth tremble, if they are on the earth. If they are not on the earth, well, they shine. So if you see something like people who have aura, like even all the gods, like, you know, Jesus, you know, have aura. Or some other gods, you know, when they draw them, you know, they put some aura. Aura, usually in the time, you know, they say aura around the neck. That is, you know, from the neck up only. But now they know they say the aura was surrounding all the body. Like the Amitabha Buddha. Amitabha Buddha had the aura all around the body. So it's a little bit different. But basically like that, Buddha from at 10 corner shine their aura. That is, you know, they listen to you, they see you, they approve you, they accept it. They shine their aura. Like, you know, they send you an email saying that, okay, you're good, right? You understand it easily, right? So my body reflects in front of their feet. This is very important, be careful. My body reflects in front of their precious image. I postpone humbly asking for refuge. The last one is easy, but my body reflects in front of their precious image. You see, this is your hand. But this means that you really understand Buddhism, if you understand that. You understand it? Trước bảo tọa thân con nằm kia. You go there, you go to the temple. Usually, you know, you don't sit alone, right? You have some Buddha image or some Bodhisattva image. You prostrate in front of them. Now, you say, hey, this is just a copper thing, a bronze thing, a wooden thing. Why do you have to prostrate in front of this statue? Just say yes, because I know that you have this question. You have this question. It's not, you see, my body reflects in front of their precious image. That is, their image will reflect mine. My image is that. In other words, I prostrate in front of myself. But there you do, there you say that. Of course you don't, right? You don't put yourself on the pedestal and then you bow to yourself. But basically, you know, this is it. Their precious image, the image of the Buddha, are you. See, you are the Buddha. You are the Bodhisattva. Remember that? In all the world, no, it's like the Brahmanet. You and them are the same. Don't see them differently. They are not, you know, your opposite, your adversary. They are not, you know, like the goal you have to attain. Because some people misunderstand that. They always think that Buddhahood is some goal, something high you have to climb, and to get over there. So this is something, when you prostrate in front of the Buddha, the statue, you bow into them, you bow to yourself. That is, not to yourself, but to the Buddhahood inside you. That is, to the Buddha inside you. That is important, to recite this. Because these, you know, will remind you about that. Most of the time we forget about it. We just, you know, so we have some problem before we fail on the exam. We got a straight D or something. So we read something, we buy some orange, go on flea market, I mean farmer's market, on sale, put them on. Namo Ajita Phật, okay, cầu con, cho con thi đậu, cho con đi nhiều đi. See, you don't see them like you. You remember that? My body reflects in front of the image. Now you see that? Well, since I am the Buddha, I have to strive. I want more. What will the Buddha will say? They will give me the power to get straight A, right? But if I have the power to get straight A, what should I do? Should learn more, right? Do more things. So I just go home and try to strive on it. Try to skip, you know, on these games and things. So, you understand this part, right? I prostrate humbly asking for refuge. Very important. So, in Buddhism, you know, we stress on the humility. Humble. It's very important. You see, these big monks, they're old, like, you know, your grandparents already. And they always say, yeah, to the real monk, I mean. You see, not famous. So, yes, there are people, you know, who just profit from that. Very few, but they are. So be careful with that. But you understand, because when you are deep into this, you know, you get what they call by wisdom. And the wisdom will help you to tell which one is which. So you see, become humble is very important. That is the reason why you see all the people here, when they prostrate, and with the head, you know, touching the soil. This is a precious thing. This is a dirty thing. I don't care. I am not. You just say that, and then, you know, you feel good. Because you remember the Bodhisattva precept also. Then you know you have to harm all the sentient beings. They will become Buddha. They will become good. They will become millionaire. You will stay a poor one. You see it? We learn about that. Now we postal. Who do we postal to? Try to finish this. Postal in unison, the three parts. Now you come in. You greet them. Greet them. Hello, Buddha. Hello, Bodhisattva. You are good. You are good. I try to strive like you. Now I postal. You don't say yet, you know, what do you want later? Now you postal in unison. That is Chitta Nikaya. Mean in one mind. All the world is in one mind. That is, you know, when you do something, you try not, you know, to scatter your thought. From utmost emptiness, realizing all Dharma realms of past, present, future, of 10 courses Buddhas, Dharma, sage and sense of Sangha, permanently abiding in 3 precious gems. So you proceed in the 3 precious gems, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. Who are they? The Buddhas of the past, present, future of 10 quarters. And from utmost emptiness, realizing on Dharma. That means all the Buddhas, past, present, future, they are like us also, coming from emptiness, from nothing, and they will come back to nothing. We are the same. So all the Buddhas, you know, of the Avatamsaka, that is, you know, million and billion of Buddhas, they are also nothing. They come from nothing, they come back to nothing. They just, you know, appear for him personally. It's like us now, we take this life form to help all the sentient beings. You do something. So if a life is worthy or not worthy, it's just like that. Some people know just exist on their life, and then they fade away. But some people know they really miss them. So that is the meaning of the life, realizing on Dharma. So you say, if they were just emptiness, just stay in emptiness. Realizing all Dharma realms. Because whenever they transform, they want to help other people. It's like transformer, right? If it is just a car, you just drive. But then, you know, when you pop up, boom, 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 things like that, you know, try to help you to do something. You know transformers, right? And the Buddhas, the Dharmas. The Dharma means the teaching of the Buddhas. Because the Buddhas is one thing. Now, you don't know what they say then. What does he teach? So the Dharma is the teaching of the Buddha. Easy to understand. That is, you know, don't do good. I mean, don't do bad. Do good things. Okay, I wake you up a little bit. And then, help all sentient beings. The sage, the sense of the Sangha. Permanently abiding three bodies, precious gem, you already know. The Sangha is the assembly of all the sage and sense. Also, it does not mean only the monk. Because some people know, they misunderstand and they say that, well, I bow only to the monk. Teng Tang, even the nun, you know, I don't bow to them. Or other people, oh, why do I bow to this guy? No, but his bodhisattva, I bow to him. The second prosternation is for the Saha Master Shakyamuni Buddha. Saha Master means this world. This world is called the Saha world. Incoming Maitreya Buddha, that means the Buddha Maitreya will be coming, the next Buddha. You might not know him, but you know what it means. Right? So you bow to the Shakyamuni Buddha of this world. You bow to the incoming Buddha Maitreya, that is, he will be coming. And the next one, the Maitreya Buddha, we will learn later. This Maitreya, you know, he now is in the Tusita heaven. We learn about him later, because we don't have too much time now. With this wisdom, now the two Buddha, the actual Buddha, the incoming Buddha, and the Bodhisattva, the greatest wisdom, Manjushri Bodhisattva, call them with greater wisdom, because we learn that Manjushri is the one, you know, who resides on the left. If you come to the temple, we don't have his figure, but usually Shakyamuni is, you know, in the middle, or, you know, Varukaina Buddha, same thing, and then the left of him is Manjushri. The right of him is Samantabhadra. Manjushri is the representation of the wisdom. So we see this wizard's wisdom. He rides on a green lion holding a sword. A sword, you know, to cut off the ignorance. And he has 5 shinyong, the girls in the nose, right? Because he has a lot of hair. And people who have a lot of hair, usually they don't just like them fall like that. They, how do you call them? When you call them and make, you know, an onion or something like this, how do you call them? A what? With a bun?
Five.
A what? A bun? So five buns. So he got five buns on it. Five buns on it. Five buns not represent the five Buddha. But okay, we'll learn about that later. We cannot address, we don't have enough time. So he represents the greater wisdom. And on the right side, the greater action. Samantabhadra, he has like a 10 vows. We say that before, right? That is, you know, he represents the reason. One is wisdom. One is the reason. The Mansuri is the master of all the teacher, of all the Buddhas. So he's also our teacher. Whenever you take this precept, you will ask him to become your teacher in the liturgy. Whenever you start to take this vow, he will become your teacher. That is, you ask Mansuri to come and become my teacher, to get me, to give me wisdom. And greater action, Samantabhadra, he has greater action because he is the reason. He represents the reason. Why? Because Mansuri, he is wise, but he teach only. He cannot help sentient beings. You must have Samantabhadra, who ride on the white elephant with six tusks. Six tusks meaning these six paramita. Basically, you know, this action, because why? Samantabhadra is the one, you know, who will help you get enlightened. Mansuri give you the wisdom. On Dhammapala Bodhisattva. Dhammapala. Dhamma means the teaching of the Buddha. Pala means the protector. Dhammapala means protector of the Dhamma. In Vietnamese, they call them Hộ Pháp. In old ancient temple, even in China or Korean or Japanese or Vietnamese, we see these big statues of like a mean general with the sword standing up front. It's really mean. They are Dhamma protector. That is, you know, if somebody come in, you know, try to destroy the temple, try to mess up the temple, they will punish them. Dhammapala. Usually, that, you know, the concrete things. But Dhammapala is all people, nuns, monks, or lay people who help, you know, spreading the Dhamma. Protect, make this Dhamma, you know, going more, make, help propagate, you know, the Buddhism. That is, you know, help maintain Buddhism. All Dhammapala Bodhisattva. So, if you just, you know, pray, you don't help other people to understand it, you are not Dhammapala. You are the only Bodhisattva, but not Dhammapala. But if you say that, you learn this, oh, I have this book, you can read it, you will suddenly become Dhammapala. Not for long, but of course, you know, at least for long. And Buddhas and Bodhisattva of Vajra Peak Assembly. Vajra Peak, you know, is the mountain in India where the Buddha Shakyamuni teach a lot of sutra, especially the Mahayana sutras, near the Saravati. So all the Buddha, Bodhisattva, so whenever the Buddha taught the monks in the time, the Arahat, all the Bodhisattva gather, and all the Buddhas in the past gather together. Like you read in the Lotus Sutra, when the Buddha Shakyamuni spoke about the Lotus Sutra, ancient Buddha come in, the many precious things, Buddha come in and certify that he's saying the truth. So the Buddhas, you bow to the Buddhas and the Bodhisattva of the Vajra Peak Assembly. Present in unison now, the Sukhavati, greatest kindness, greatest compassion, Amitabha Buddha. Now you know him, Phật A Di Đà, Đại Từ Đại Bi. He's very kind, he has highest compassion, because he has these 48 vows. Greatest compassion, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, you know the word now that you call them Kuan Yin. Greatest compassion, and Mahasamapatta Bodhisattva, that is like Siddhi. You see the Buddha, now we don't have it here, but the Amitabha Buddha stands in the middle. He has also two generals. One is the Avalokiteshvara, the other one is the Mahasamapatta. Like Siddhi, the Kuan Yin or the Avalokiteshvara represents the compassion, loving kindness, right? The other one, the Like Siddhi, he represents the wisdom. So usually, if you have the Buddha Shakyamuni with Mansuri and Samantabhadra, you don't have these anymore. But if you have the Amitabha Buddha, you have also these two Bodhisattva. So you see, in our temple, it's different because we have the Shakyamuni in the middle. So these two big Bodhisattva is different. One is the Avalokiteshvara, the Kuan Yin, and the other one is greatest vow, Siddhigaba Bodhisattva. he has witness vow of all the bodhisattva. Why? Because he vowed that địa ngục vị không thể bất hình phạt. Chúng sanh độ tật phương chứng bồ đề. You see the word in Chinese, if you see địa ngục vị không mean the hell, no, still not empty, I will not become Buddha. So he will help all the misunderstand. Some people misunderstand say that the bodhisattva, this địa tạng, Siddhagaba, he stay in hell. He help people in hell. So he go everywhere to help people. So he has witness vow because he vowed that as long as there one sentient being in the hell, I will not become Buddha. And chúng sinh độ tật phương chứng Bồ Đề mean only whenever all the sentient beings become Buddha, I will become the last one. He has witness vow. Nobody can make this kind of vow. But he had to give us one. That was the reason we pray to him. We do good things, we go to heaven, well, we don't care much about them, right? But then, you know, bodhisattvas, they help us to progress. But then, you know, we did a lot of bad things. So we go to hell. We go to hell, well, this bodhisattva help us. So we have over. Pure and ocean vast assembly of bodhisattvas. That means all order of bodhisattvas, big or small, right? So we proceed to them. We run out of time. We cannot stay any longer. Continue. Let's do no time. Nguyện đem công đức này hướng về khắp tất cả đệ tử và chúng sinh.